This is the coolest thing we're about to talk about. This coming Saturday, March 16th, the Murderous March 2019 Writers and Readers Confab. You know, we haven't had enough good confabs around here. It's good to have one
fabulous.
Coming up. Hosted by the Mavens of Mayhem Sisters in Crime Upper Hudson Chapter and the East Greenbush Community Library will take place. The women and men of Mavens of Mayhem, passionate about mystery writing and about equality and diversity in the genre, meet monthly and offer programs for fans and writers. U.S. best-selling Canadian author Vicki Delaney has been booked to speak. Her keynote address, Writers and Their Rituals, will kick things off, and Delaney will share wisdom on the Getting Cozy with Murder panel. Guest speaker Edwin Hill, author and educational publisher, will join Delaney in a conversation called Breaking and Entering into the Field. And Hill will also join the Place of Place in Crime Writing. Two more panels will offer insights into the field and craft of crime writing, conferences, seminars, and retreats, the value of gathering, and at the scene of the crime. Speakers include Capital Region writers and those traveling from Buffalo, Syracuse, and Hudson, Boston, and Prince Edward County, Ontario. We are joined by Frankie Bailey and Rhonda Rosenheck, who are here in the studio with us. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having us.
A delight to have you on the program. And via phone, we welcome your guest of honor, Vicki Delaney, who will be speaking, as I mentioned. Good morning, Vicki.
Good morning. I'm really excited and really looking forward to it.
Very nice to have you on the program. So let us talk first, Frankie, to you, a professor at University at Albany School of Criminal Justice. You are a wonderful crime writer, have many books. I love your study.
She is that for sure.
Two police procedurals. So how did this whole thing come about?
Well, it started 2 years, a year ago. This is going to be our second annual Murderous March. So we want to do outreach to people, to readers, to writers, and get them in to talk about mysteries and to explore the craft. And one of our former members had gotten together with the East Greenbush Public Library and set up the first conference, and it went so well, we decided to expand. And we were lucky enough to be able to get Vicki through Sisters in Crime National, their speakers bureau. And then I met Edwin at another conference where we were on the same panel together. And it just grew and expanded, and we went from half a day to this more extended day, and we're really excited about it.
A lot going on in one day. Rhonda, you do a really cool thing. You do crime poetry.
I do.
So what is, I'm pretty sure I can figure out what it is, but give us a sense of how you describe it.
Well, you know, it's actually very old. It comes from town criers, right? You know, anything, that any news you want to carry out.
Right.
But I really, I grew up reading mysteries, and I grew up writing poetry, and I've always written poetry. When I retired from education, I wanted to start to write mysteries, and I crafted a beautiful detective, and she was really bright, and she'd get to a point, and she'd figure something out, and then I'd drive around for 3 months saying, how would she know that? How did she know that? So I discovered I'm not actually good at that. But I'm good at writing poetry. So I began to craft poems, and I use the very rigid forms, and then I put chaos into the structure of an old European form of poetry. And some of them are funny, and some of them are dark, and most of them are revenge-like, so you kind of put a thumbs up when you hear it at the end. And I don't know how I'd describe it. A little like imagining that you slap somebody in the head when they've been annoying, and then it feels better, and you don't actually have to do it.
I understand. You have, what, five mysteries? Is that right, Frankie?
I have five mysteries in the Lizzie Stewart series and two in the Hannah McCate series set in Albany.
So
and some short stories.
And those are continuing, I assume.
Yes.
What brought you to want to do this, especially given your day job?
Well, you know, I the Lizzie Stewart series had gone out of print, some of those books. And then a company, a publishing company, approached my agent and me and wanted to reissue those books. And so that gave me the incentive to continue that particular series. I really loved that series. I sort of left it at a crucial turning point. With the Hannah McCabe series, I left it with the character arc incomplete, so I owe you, the readers, at least one more book. But right now I'm working on a historical thriller set in 1939, which I'm really excited about.
It's great. You like going back in time.
I do. So all of my books are set either in the past or the future. Nothing's in the present.
Except it's nice to avoid the present.
Except the present's catching up with my future in the Hannah McCabe series, so now it's a parallel universe.
So, as we mentioned, Vicki Delaney will be speaking and giving the keynote at the Murderous March Writers and Readers Confab happening on Saturday, this Saturday, from 10:15 to 4:30 at the East Greenbush Community Library. When you speak, Vicki, what would you like to get across to the audience?
First of all, I'm going to talk a little bit about writers' rituals, which is actually something that I've learned about how other writers have approached the craft. And one thing I've found actually over the years, I've been writing for quite a long time, and a lot of people who are just starting out almost seem to think that they want someone to tell them how to do it. And once someone has told them how to do it, they will also, produce a book and be successful. But there is no way to do it. The only way that actually works is the way that works for you. And I try to encourage people to learn what works for them. Yeah, maybe you get a little bit of advice from other people. The best advice is, just to do it. You're never going to finish a book if you think about it all the time. But that they need to find out what works for them, and once they've done that, to accept that as the right way to do it.
When we think of those rituals, they, of course, I assume in your case and in everyone's case here, they come over time. You learn yeah. over time.
You learn over time, plus your life changes. I started writing when I worked full-time, like Frankie said she does now. I don't anymore, so my writing life was completely different when I, worked full-time and had three kids at home. And, so things change over time as well.
What do you enjoy about having a series, Vicki?
It's fun to get to really know a place. I'm actually writing three different series now. Which means three sets of characters, three different places. My books are all set in different places. But in particular, I like to make the characters themselves different. I'm the author writing them all, but they all have the main character, their own little individual personality traits and little quirks. And I like the challenge of keeping them straight, to make sure that the little personality quirk of the character in the Lighthouse Library series doesn't overflow into the main character in the Sherlock Holmes Bookshop series, for example.
Tell us, Rhonda, about the last go-round, the first time that you did this, of what attendees ultimately want to know, of some of the things that they're interested in about mystery and about writing in crime fiction.
Yeah, it was an interesting mix. We had, I would say, probably more fans than serious writers, but a lot of the fans imagine themselves, as Vicki was saying, I could write a book. I'd
sure.
like to write a book. And so the questions that they were asking were a lot. I think the reason Vicki is going to speak about this is because that came out a lot with the panel, the panel last year's. How do you do it? How do you fit it in? How do you not only imagine yourself writing a book, but actually take the steps? What are any of the steps? So we had, when we finished last year, the two pieces of feedback that we got were that people wanted more time to confer with the speakers and with each other in between events, and they wanted more content like that. So that's why we went to the longer day with very clear breaks between. But we also go to a place like, one of the questions is, why would I go to conferences What's the difference between a writing retreat and a conference? What will, how will that help me in my craft or in my life as a writer? So that's a very, very unlikely to get fans. That's more likely to get people who really want to start to move into writing. Whereas some of them that are very craft related, like The Place of Place and At the Scene of the Crime, that's going to get both. That's going to get people who want to write it, but also people are just going to enjoy listening to the discourse around it because they love reading it.
And I found, if I may interrupt, please, over the years, too, that even people who have no interest in writing themselves are often interested in how the process works. So they, you know, they want to know about how you go about it and do you have a particular approach and all that sort of stuff. And I think maybe for some of them, it helps them to kind of enjoy the final product better when they have an idea of what went into it.
You also, Vicki, will be on the panel that Frankie is moderating, as Rhonda just mentioned, conferences, seminars, and retreats, the value of gathering. What do you think that value of gathering is?
Well, I actually go to a fair amount of conferences, several every year. I'm going to Left Coast Crime in Vancouver in the week after next. The value of the conferences for me is almost to re-energize. Writing is a pretty solitary activity. You sit here, you know, in your house all by yourself and shut the door to your study. And you need some outside energy. And certainly at the beginning of my writing career, I think I needed to realize that other people were struggling too. And plus you get, you know, a few tips and hints and you just meet like-minded people. And the value of meeting like-minded people can't be overestimated, I think, for somebody who works in a fairly solitary profession, as well as the practical things, you know, for a beginning writer. Maybe you'll, you know, hear about a hot agent who's looking for, you know, exactly what you're doing, or you'll get tips from, you know, from the latest up and coming writer. So it all works to me as a whole. The networking is important. The skill learning is important, but most important of all is just sort of being part of that world and remembering that you're not all alone in your own little garret.
Frankie Bailey, as I mentioned, you'll be moderating that panel. And anything you'd like to add about that, of the importance of these conferences?
Well, you know, we were just talking about this in terms of readers and writers and the people who fall in between. But I've been thinking about it because I am going to be teaching Summer Session 2 at Yale Writers Workshop, where we're going to be looking at mystery and crime fiction. I've been thinking about you, what Vicki and Rhonda were talking about people and how they come in and what they're trying to do. And there we're going to have 4 days to explore that. But one of the things we want to do in this conference is give people a takeaway. And I'm going to be putting together a list of conferences and workshops and retreats so that we can tell them a bit about what they might gain or get from attending these different workshops. Malice Domestic, for example, if you're a reader, most of the people attending that particular conference are readers because they're really excited about coming there and seeing and talking to authors and, you know, getting together to talk about books. So we may be attracting some of those people to this particular panel as well, just because they want to know where they can go as readers and get more information. So we will have handouts, and we will give you takeaways if you're coming for that.
When it comes to, and I want to ask all of you this, and Frankie, I'll start with you, which is, why do we love this stuff? As audiences, why do we love this stuff? We have mayhem, we have murder, we have chaos in our lives every single solitary day. In the few hours or moments that we have in our lives where we can relax, why do we want to read about crime? I ask you this because I do it every single solitary day of my life.
Vicki and I are on Type M for Murder, a blog, and you know, that sometimes comes up in a conversation. But there are a number of reasons. You know, as a nonfiction researcher, when I do surveys and talk to people about this, particularly when we're talking about the traditional mystery, the classic whodunit, there is this sense that justice will be done, that in the conclusion, at the end of the book, you know, the crime will be solved and order will be restored. If we're talking about thrillers, you know, there's the excitement of the chase, the, you know, danger, the possibility that everything may go wrong. With the PI, it's a matter of style. But I think, you know, many readers are also really interested in true crime as well. And so to the extent that we have some realism in some books, or some readers really like cozies because they're interested in the types of skills that the sleuths are displaying in cozies. So there are a range of reasons for reading these books. But I think just because people are fascinated by murder, which is one of the most atypical crimes in real life, but the most typical crime in mysteries
yes.
and detective
right.
fiction, that they had the opportunity to play detective and to get involved. Forensics fascinate some people as well.
Rhonda, we'll go to you, and then we'll wrap up with Vicky.
I view it a little more intuitively, that there's a sense of being able to encapsulate the incomprehensible, right? Like that I can have some mastery of a chaotic world. That's why with my poetry, I'm doing exactly that, right? There's really chaotic things, but I'm encapsulating it. And I think just all of my life of reading espionage and mysteries and thrillers, that there's a sense of, as the reader, being able to hover above it and wake up the next morning and have a day.
Right.
So when it's, and I love, you asked about writing series. As a reader, series cause me to fall in love with the protagonists and their motivations and how they change and how they are changed through the impact of dealing with murder after murder or crime after crime.
Unfortunately, Vicky, I'm very short on time. I only have less than a minute, but
okay.
I would just like you to add to that.
Okay, and quickly. I'm now writing cozy mysteries, which are fairly light. And what Frankie and Rhonda had to say is true, but I find that the average cozy reader is hardly, sometimes they're not even all that interested in the murder or their mystery. They're interested in the puzzle aspect. They're interested in how the sleuth goes about putting the clues together and solving the crime. But above all, they're sometimes interested in the community, because cozy mysteries are very much about a small, close-knit group of people. And people often say to me that they wish they could live in the town that my characters live in and have friends like they have and that sort of thing.
So I just love the word cozy.
Really
yes,
quickly,
yes.
We have 10 tickets given to us by the Woodstock Book Fest, and these are for a panel on mystery and detective fiction. We will be giving those away at our conference.
Oh, wonderful. So a lot going on. You can find out more about the Murderous March 2019 Writers and Readers Confab, hosted by the Mavens of Mayhem, Sisters in Crime Upper Hudson Chapter, and the East Greenbush Community Library that's taking place this coming Sunday from 10 to 4:30. Links to more information are posted along with this interview at
Saturday?
Yes, I apologize. Saturday from 10 a.m. to 4:30. Links to more information are posted along with this interview, wamc.org/roundtable. Frankie, Rhonda, Vicky, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having us.
A delight to have
you
all.
Thank you very much.
We'll be back right after this.